Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message with Pastor Travis Turner.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Super. Before I get super serious, because if you know me, I know I'm super serious all the time. I'm going to ask you guys to, I know we've been standing, okay? You see me up here, you've probably figured out Pastor Travis still isn't feeling well this morning. Okay, guys, we need to pray for our pastor. Okay, like I said, I know we stood up, but one of my favorite Bible stories growing up as a kid was the four men who carried their paralytic friend to see Jesus. Okay, I remember thinking it was so cool. They cut a hole in the roof and lowered him in front of Jesus because the room was so packed that they couldn't get in the door. The windows were full, everything. They had no choice. This morning, we're going to bring our pastor to the feet of Jesus. So will you stand with me this morning, please? I probably bored him during first service, so I don't know if he's watching online, but we're going to pray for him this morning. Sister Tina's, I think, out there. But anyway, we're going to pray for him this morning. Okay, join me in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for your goodness and your love to us. Thank you for your goodness to Grace Church. And I thank you for such a great pastor, Lord God. I just thank you for Pastor Travis. And I just ask you right now, Lord God, as he is at home resting, God, that you put your hand on him, Lord, that your healing power touch him from head to toe. The precious blood of Jesus would just hit every spot that needs healing, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that he's at home, even in this sickness, Lord Jesus, that you continue to give him just a greater anointing than he already has, a greater vision that he already has for this church and for this community. And I pray that your hand be on them. Protect Sister Tina, be with their home. I pray that they would experience your protection, your favor, and your blessing as healing comes to him today. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, guys. Thank you. Awesome. So Pastor Travis asked me, he called me, gave me a long time to prepare. He called me Thursday night. Okay. He's like, hey, Rick, he's like, I'm still not feeling very well. Could you help me out? And so I was like, sure, you know. And being that he was sick, I thought maybe I could sneak one by him. All right. So I was like, okay, Pastor, here's the deal. Like, I know that before you've asked me to help out, but like Sunday, is there any way instead of speaking, like I could get up and just like sing like four or five songs? Like, I'm like, why are you laughing? You haven't even heard me sing yet, and you're already laughing, okay? But I'm like, Pastor, if you let me sing, I think that'd be cool, just a refreshing break from, like, when I speak before. And there was this really awkward pause on the other end of the phone, okay? Again, you're laughing, and I haven't started singing yet, okay? But really awkward pause, and there was this boldness that only, like, this is his platform, his church, okay? The boldness only the pastor could have. He's like, well, Rick, I've heard you speak, and I've heard you sing as well. He's like, I'd like to have a church to come back to. So if you could just speak for a few minutes, like, I'd really appreciate it. So, yeah, you can thank him that he spared you from me singing, okay? Anyway, I said, point taken, Pastor. I'll just speak for a few minutes, all right? So being that he asked me to speak, and I did have a couple days to prepare, I just remember looking like, you know, Pastor Javi, Dr. Dave Miller, Dr. Deering, Bo Stevenson, anytime they get up here to speak, they have this laptop, and it looks super cool. So I trolled every pawn shop all over town, all right, looking for this laptop, all right? I even had to edit the front of it, all right, just to make sure. No, I'm just teasing. But I borrowed my kid's laptop. I don't even have one. I borrowed my kid's laptop, so thank you, Zeph. So it would have been cooler if he would have typed the message on it for me, but he didn't do that, so here I am this morning. So, guys, this morning, I want to speak to you about the title of my message is, When in This Season, Who Is He? All right? Because we walk through a lot of different seasons in our life. It's kind of, the seasons in our life are kind of like the seasons of Idaho that we walk through weather-wise. Like in the last week, we've experienced three seasons, I don't know how many times, all right? And we've experienced, you know, winter, fall, winter, spring, and then it goes backwards, winter, fall, then back again, winter, spring. Like, we won't hit summer until the last trailer comes home on Memorial Day weekend. So I've got it marked down, like on my calendar already, the 27th of May. I'm hoping for 80 degree weather and that it stays like that for a while. We might hit 80 one time between now and then, but the chances of it happening, and I promise you plan a picnic, a camping trip, whatever, it's going to be cold. That's just how it happens, okay? But no, it's our seasons in our life are kind of like Idaho weather. They change all the time, all right? And guys, we can be in one season one day, and the next day we find ourselves in another season, all right? The subtitle, I don't know, or the secondary title for my message, if you're writing things down, would be, I know a guy, okay? I know a guy. How many of you guys know somebody that whatever you say to them, or like, I have this going on, or hey, do you know anybody that just, you know, fixes the roof, or do you know anybody that you know, hauls rock, or whatever? Oh, I know a guy, all right? And this morning, I'm going to tell you, I know a guy, all right? But I saw this deal on Facebook, kind of made me laugh. It says, getting older is all about knowing a guy, like a plumbing guy, a roof guy, a tax guy, a lawn guy. You know, it's all about knowing a guy. Guys, we know a guy, all right? We know a guy, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. All right, so we're going to jump right in. Our lives are, like I said, are full of so many different seasons, all right? There's so many different things that we walk through. I have a son that's 17. He's a senior. He's going to graduate here in a couple months. He goes through, you know, this is his last school year, his last spring break, his last thing. He turns 18 in about 2-3 weeks. A month almost, he turns 18, he's going to graduate, and I asked him yesterday, I said, brother, as I'm getting ready for this message, I said, what would you tell me about the season of your life that you're in, okay? Now, guys, he's not in here, so now I'll say this, like, without any reservation, he's a lot better kid than I was at 17, all right? My senior year looked a lot different than his. I mean, we didn't have internet, we didn't have all these different things, but not only that, like, he's made better decisions than I've made, and thank God for that, guys. That's like, I pray about that every day, all right, and I'm sure if you have children, you pray the same thing. God, make them better than me. Help them make better decisions than I made. I don't want my kids to walk in my footsteps, guys. I don't. I hope they choose so much of a better path, and I'm sure if we're being honest, you would probably say that you've prayed the same thing, all right, but guys, I asked him, what's this season look like for you? He's like, well, Dad, it's weird. He's like, you know, it is. It's my last spring break. It's, you know, my last school year. I only have, you know, 2 months maybe left of school. He's like, you know, I'm going to graduate. He's like, next fall, like, I won't be starting school with my brothers and everything else. And so we just talked. We had a good conversation about that. And then I thought about my season right now. Here I am. I have, like, our oldest is going to graduate. Like, it's that time where he's, you know, going to start experiencing more and more things on his own. If any of you are like me, you know, we want to keep our kids from learning the hard lessons in life, all right? Almost make those choices for them and say, hey, you know, don't go down this path. This is what this leads to. And of course, as parents, we do share those, but ultimately they get to the point where they make their own decisions. And it's hard, all right? It's hard for me, you know, because I think to myself, I skin my chin so many different times. I don't want that to happen to you. My dad used to tell me all the time, why do you have to learn everything the hard way? And so, like, that's what I've tried to tell my boys. Don't do that. Learn from other people. And then I think to myself, my dad used to tell me the same thing and I didn't listen. You know, it's terrible. You know what I'm saying? It's terrible, but you have to let them learn and grow for themselves. So they're in that season, again, where they're experiencing all these different things, and we have to let them. And so as those things change, I'm like, God, okay, we gave him back to you when he was a baby. If you haven't been in church for a while, you know, we don't baptize our kids. We let them, when they get old enough to make that decision for themselves, make their decision about water baptism, but we dedicate them. We give them back to the Lord, all right? And I think to myself, Autumn and I gave him back to God when he was, a month old, maybe, you know? And I'm like, it's tough. You know, it's tough when you think about it, but you say, God, I've given him to you. I've tried to instill good things into him. I've tried to plant good seeds into his life and show him that a relationship with you and knowing you and serving you is the best way to go. But it's hard for us as we change in these seasons, all right? So this morning, guys, the first season I want to talk to you about, all right, or the first point I want to make to you, okay? Guys, we serve a God that shuts the mouths of lions when we're alone in the den, all right? And if you've never read this story, even if you have, It's a fun one to go back and read. In Daniel chapter 6, 13 through 23 is what we've got that I want to read from you to you from. Let me just set a little bit of a preface to before I start reading. So Daniel was an exile from Judah, okay, and he'd found favor with King Darius. He was a satrap. Is that Dr. Dave? Help me out. Am I saying that right? He was a satrap, which easy explanation for me was like he was a senator, okay, or something of that nature, one of the officials in the kingdom, all right, and he'd found favor, and I feel like, and this might be off, but I feel like some of the other satraps were jealous of Daniel and who he was and the favor he had with the king, and they knew that Daniel was a prayerful man that loved, feared, and served God, okay, and so they went to the king, and they said, hey, you know what, king, you're so cool. You are the coolest of all kings. You know, we should make this law that no one can pray to anybody but you, O king. And, you know, and the king, of course, I'm sure he just swelled up at this. You know, his chest puffed out more. His head got a little bit bigger. And he agreed to it. You know, hey, that's a great idea. No one should pray to anybody but me, all right? And so he passes this law. And these guys knew exactly what they were doing. So about the first time that Daniel turned towards Jerusalem to pray, all right, they said, hey, look at Daniel. Look at what he's doing, right? And they brought it up to the king, all right? And the king, you know, the word says that the king was troubled by this. Why? Because he loved Daniel, all right? And lucky for you guys, I forgot the password on this laptop, so we're about done. So anyway, the king loved Daniel, okay? But he knew that he'd signed this law into existence that, hey, if anybody, you know, prays to anybody but me, he's like, they have to be punished, all right? And so, again, they told him, hey, Daniel, the exile from Judah, pays no attention to your majesty or the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. That tells you a lot about the king's, what his view was of Daniel, okay? He didn't have to answer to anybody, all right? But he made every effort to rescue Daniel, okay? And they reminded the king, remember, it says, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. All right, the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Okay, and it says a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. All right, he placed a stone over the lid of the den. The king sealed it with his ring so his situation could not be changed. All right, Daniel was inside. He couldn't change the situation. Lions were inside. They were about to change the situation, and the king made sure, hey, no one else is gonna change the situation. So I think, guys, God was getting ready to use the king. Brandon talked this morning. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he was in the midst of the miracle, all right? Daniel probably didn't feel like it. We probably don't feel like it when we're in the lion's den, but we're in the midst of a miracle, okay? God's getting ready to show off just a little bit. It says the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment. He couldn't even watch TV. He was so worried about Daniel, okay? But what's going to happen to Daniel? It says he didn't even sleep, and it says at first light of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Can you imagine the look on his face when he heard Daniel's voice, when he answered him? And Daniel said, my God, Daniel answered, may the king live forever. Still gave his reverence to the king. But he says, my God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted in God. Okay, guys. Interesting enough, like, the king knew who God was. Whether he acknowledged it fully, he knew because he'd seen God's work in Daniel. Sometimes, guys, we find favor in our workplace. We find favor in our community. We find favor in our schools, in our jobs, and just wherever. We found God's favor, all right? And we think, hey, I'm in this spot. I was naive when I first gave my heart to God. I thought, you know what? With God's favor, nothing's ever going to happen to me. I mean, I'm going to get raises every other week. You know, nothing's ever going to break in my house. Like, I'm going to just have the, I'm going to be in the fast lane to all the good things that God has for me. Boy, was I surprised. Okay? And I'm sure you were too, if you've ever thought the same thing. All right? But guys, sometimes we can be doing nothing wrong and we can be in God's favor. That's what Daniel was. He did nothing wrong. All right? He was still giving God his due. He was still living in the favor that God had placed him in. He was doing all these things and he found himself in the lion's den. Sometimes we find ourselves in the lion's den and we've done nothing of our own choice or of our own accord to get there. All right? But we're there. But you know what, guys? The one who shuts the mouth of lions is with us. All right? And he's the one that he's going to go with us and he's in front of us. All right? And I, you know, the king recognized this and I look back and it says further on in Daniel, he says, you know, the king, at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed the bones. The same lions that were in there before with Daniel were the same lions that just consumed these people before they even hit the floor of the den. Why, guys, did they not consume Daniel? Because God's favor was with Daniel. God's angels protected him. We'll be in a situation, and I promise you, all right, you may have done nothing to get there. And you know what? God will make a way, guys, even when we see no other way out. And he'll do amazing things. He shuts the mouths of these lions, okay? I want to read to you, and it's not directly related, but it hits me good. It's Psalms 91, 9 through 16. It says, if you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. Guys, that's what Daniel did. He called on God every time he had the chance. And when it came time for the lion to consume him, God rescued him. And that's what he'll do for us. When we're in that season, again, we're alone in the den, we serve the God who rescues, all right? Guys, I want to move to Exodus chapter 14, 1 through 30. I'm not going to read 30 verses to you. You would probably recommend Hooked on Phonics for me if I did. But guys, Exodus 1:30 is talk about Moses and the parting of the Red Sea, all right? Guys, my second point is this. He is the one who splits oceans even when the enemy thinks he has us cornered, okay? If you know the story about Moses and the Israelites, all right, they were fleeing from Pharaoh and guys, they found themselves up against the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his men behind. It says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped near the sea near Pihahiroth opposite Baal Zephon. All right. If you look further up, it talks about how many chariots, how many men, how many people that Pharaoh had with him, and he outnumbered the Israelites. Guys, he had them pinned up against a body of water, the Red Sea. All right. They had nowhere to go. All right. I don't know if you've ever been in that spot. You say, hey, you know, the enemy's pursuing me. I'm staying one step ahead. But then you hit that spot, right? And you're up against it, all right? You can feel the waves or the mist from the ocean in front of you. You're like, man, I ain't going to get through there, all right? And you can feel the enemy behind you. And this is what the Israelites were facing, okay? Guys, there's so many amazing things in this story and in this passage, all right? If you've never read it, like I said, go to the Exodus 14, 1 through 30, and read that. But the cool thing about this is that God told Moses, he said, stretch your hand over the sea, okay? And Moses did it, all right? And all the waters were divided. They split, all right? He split it with a strong east wind, and it turned it into dry land. How many of you guys have dirt driveways or you know, place in your driveway right now? We've got a little bit of rain. It's not all, you know, not all the ground is dried out yet. It's a muddy mess, all right? But just think about it. An ocean had been flowing over this ground or been sitting over this ground for how long, all right? God divides the sea with a strong east wind, and the land was dry. It's amazing in and of itself, okay? It's amazing to me, all right? Don't know how many of you have ever been to, like, Donner Pass in the wintertime, but there's huge walls of snow when they get a ton of snow up there, and you look up and it's almost like it's not intimidating. Anyway, it's scary almost, because you're like, man, what if one of those falls over? These decides to keep in. What's going to happen to us? You know, we drive through there, but you can imagine the Israelites crossing on dry ground, okay, with these walls of water, okay, and you know, Titus, we were talking last night, maybe the fact that it was 1 o'clock in the morning, just different ideas come to you or something, but he's like, Dad, can you imagine as they looked over at the walls of water and like looked at the fish swimming and, oh, there's a whale, you know, oh my goodness, there's an octopus. And I was like, hey, like, I don't know if you find this or not, but look in your Bible under in 2 Opinions chapter 2, verse 4, raise your hand when you find that, all right? But I'm pretty sure this is the first aquarium, all right? The Bible's first account of the first aquarium. All right, and I thought about this because it's interesting. I get weird thoughts once, real random things, okay? But I remember being a kid, and my dad's family was from Southern California. We traveled to California usually two or three times a year, you know, twice maybe, anyway. But I remember, if you've ever been out on Highway 93 from Jackpot, Wells, Ely, on down to Vegas, you've ever been out that direction, especially if you're older than or as old as me, all right? So if you remember 20 years ago without cell phones, without these cool little DVD players that go in your car or all that, that is a boring ride, okay? That is a really boring ride. And I remember, like, my mom would be like, hey, get ready for the trip. And so I'd save some lawn mowing money. I'd buy these Archie and Jughead comic books that were about this thick, this little book, actually, at the check stand at Albertsons when it was still here in town. All right, and I'd read this comic book, and I'd have it read by the time I got to Twin. All right, so I'm like, well, this is cool. What am I going to do for the next 9 hours, okay? So, but I remember we'd ride out there, and this was before, you get that one age when you're a teenager, you just sleep, you know, from the moment you leave the garage, you sleep until you get over. But when you're a kid, you're excited, you want to get there, and so you don't sleep, and you're like, I'm sure we were asking my mom, hey, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, are we almost there? Like, we just passed, you know, another town, are we just about there? You know, and so I remember telling my sister, how cool would it be if we could bring the TV in here, and then like the VCR, and find a way to plug it into the car somewhere, all right, and we could watch movies all the way. That'd be super cool. And then I remember when those things came out, I'm like, why didn't we do that? Like, why didn't we come up with this idea of this little disc and we could watch movies all the way? It's kind of the same thing. I can only imagine, you know, there was probably some older guy. He'd been at the Red Sea as a kid, you know, and he sees the first aquarium in town, and he's like, wait a minute. He's like, I saw that. Why didn't I come up with that? That was the coolest thing ever, you know. But no, guys, like all the different things in this that I know might seem random, all right, but dry ground when the ground had been saturated for so long, you know, wave or wind holding back the waves, all right, walls of water, being able to see things in that water and just crossing, all right. And then I think about when the Israelites crossed and Pharaoh and all of his armies entered, all right, chasing, all right, still chasing. All right, and the Israelites were like, wait a minute, you just split the sea, we're just coming through, and still they're coming. But I can only imagine the fear that consumed them, not the Israelites, but the Pharaoh and the Egyptians, as those walls of water begin to cave and crash in on them. All right, guys, I'm telling you right now, the enemy can pursue you. You might see no way ahead, and God opens a door, and you still see the enemy coming, and you think, God, he's still right behind me, and God's saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, and that sea implodes on the enemy, and they're gone, all right? Not just, hey, a few of them are gone, all of them were gone. Why? Because that's the God that we serve, a God that splits oceans and consumes enemies behind us. Wow. I always have all these notes really rearranged and then arranged, and it's terrible by the end. But guys, he's the one that calms the storms in our lives. All right, I don't know about you guys, but it doesn't matter whether you serve God now, whether you've served God for 10 years, whether you serve God for 50 years, 60, maybe even 70 years, all right? There's always going to be these storms that come about in our lives, all right? Things that happen to us, all right? Things that go on, and we ask ourselves, God, where are you right now? Like, God, like, are you not mindful of me? Like, do you know, and then God brings us out of some of these storms, and we almost feel bad. Like, how did I ever doubt you? Like, how did I ever think, you know, that you weren't there at any point in time? I'm telling you this morning, don't beat yourself up too bad. You know, Matt made the comment this morning in our pre-service, right, and I love it. He's like, sometimes God is, you almost see him just there, ready, just waiting. Ask me about it. Like, I'm waiting to do this for you, and you still haven't asked me. And I think about the disciples, okay? In Mark 4, 35 through 41, all right? The disciples says, when the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. All right? Why? Anybody have an idea why Jesus could sleep through this squall? Any idea? Why would you be afraid of what you created? Why would you be afraid of what bows and what changes at your voice? All right, that's him. Jesus could sleep very well. He wasn't afraid of the wind and the waves of this storm because he was him. It says they were terrified and I won't jump down there yet. And it says, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" That's got to be one of the stupidest questions ever. Someone's asked Jesus, "Don't you care if we drown?" Of course he cares. He cared so much about us guys that he sent us, that he came to die for us, right? That he came, you know, that we could have life and life more abundantly. But he cared so much about us that he came to give us life. Why would he care, not care that we were going to drown? Why would he not care that these disciples were going to drown, all right? "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" The Bible says he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." That's what the NIV says. The King James Version says, "Peace, be still." I don't know about you guys, but there have been so many times in my life that I've had to say, "God, please quiet the storm that I'm in right now. Like, I'm tired. The boat's full. It feels like it's going to sink. All right? The wind and the waves are all about me. They're about to consume me and sink the ship. I need to have that peace, be still moment." But it says when he spoke, the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Guys, the disciples had already been called at this point. The disciples had already seen some miracles that God had done at this point, and still they had doubt. Don't beat yourself up, all right? Sometimes we say, "God, like, I'm in this storm. Do you even know where I'm at? Don't you care that I'm drowning?" All right, and he's waiting. He's saying, ask me. God, calm the storm in me. Ask me, Jesus, stop the wind, stop the waves, save my ship, all right? And he wants to do that for us, and he'll give us that peace, be still moment. We serve the God, guys, that quiets and calms storms in our lives, all right? Again, like I said, I'm going to talk a little bit about some more disciples here in a minute, but he's the one that commands the wind and the waves, and we need to hear him say, "Peace be still," and know that we're safe in his hands, all right? Guys, God's the one who provides when we see no other way, all right? I don't know about you guys, but I've been some spots, especially, you know, when Autumn and I were first married. I'm like, "Wow, how are we going to do this? You know, how's this going to work?" And God always makes a way, and I feel bad because there's times that you'll be in a situation, all right, and you'll say to yourself, "Well, God, I don't know what are you going to do?" I like to say that we're nosy people, especially as time goes on, because we have so much access to information that like everything that we want to find out is here at the tips of our fingers. I'll just Google it really quick and I'll find the answer, all right? And I think that's almost made us impatient in our faith a little bit because we have access to know so much. And I always find myself asking, "God, I'll go through this and I'll endure it, but just tell me how long, all right? Just give me a little glimpse, like, hey, Rick, this is going to happen on March 20th and you're going to be good. Cool, I'll quit worrying." You know what I'm saying? No, God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to have faith and say, "Hey, God, in your time, you'll do it and I'm going to trust you." And he wants us to trust him, okay? But he's the one that provides when we see no other way. 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16, we'll jump back to the Old Testament for just a minute. Talking about Elijah the prophet, all right? And it says, "Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He says, 'Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've directed a widow there to supply you with food.'" Guys, even before Elijah got there, God was mindful of how he was going to take care of him. All right, that's us. Even before we go somewhere, even before God sends us somewhere, before he leads us somewhere, guys, we have to know he's mindful of us, and he's going to take care of us when we get there, okay? He says he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, there was a widow there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called to her again and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread." And she said to him, "As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive in my jug, all right? I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. I don't know about any of you guys. We live in a very, very blessed nation. All right? I promise you, you can tell by looking at me, I've never really had to worry about my next meal. Okay? But here's this lady saying, hey, I have just a little bit left. All right? I'm going to go home, and I'm going to feed myself, and I'm going to feed my son. And when we get done eating, we're going to die. All right? I would say she's probably given up hope at this point, but she knows, hey, we got a little bit left, and we're gonna partake of it, and we're gonna die, all right? And Elijah said to her, you know, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make me a small loaf of bread. Make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have, and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. So this lady probably had to think to herself, like, I just told this guy we're going to go home and eat something and die. Now he wants me to make him part of this as well. Thank you, Zeph. Appreciate that. So she's obedient. He says, this is for what the Lord, and Elijah tells her, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. The Bible says she went away and did as Elijah told her, so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping in the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Guys, God has enough for us, and he's got enough for somebody else. Not only is he our enough, he's got enough for some. He planned it right here. He says, Elijah, go here. He's like, I've got a plan for you here. Go, there's a widow lady that's going to feed you. This widow lady had no idea about it. You know what her plan was? Like I said, I'm going to eat and die. That's it, okay? I'm going to eat and die. I know some of us, we get home from work, we're like, oh, I'm going to take a shower, I'm going to eat dinner, and I'm going to pass out on the couch, okay? But never to go home, eat and die, okay? That's what her situation was, that was her thought process. I'm going to eat, and then I'm going to die. All right, but God had a different plan, not just for her, not just for Elijah, but it says it fed her whole family, not just the son she talked about, all of them. Why? Because that's the God we serve, guys, the God that provides, the God that is always looking ahead. When we don't see, God, what's on the horizon? How am I going to make it through this? How am I going to feed my family? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to, you know, I got a car payment coming up. I got employees that I have to pay. How's this going to happen? And God said, hey, wait a minute. I've got it. I'm the God that provides, and that's who we serve, guys, today. All right? Guys, the one we serve is the one that stands in front of our accusers when they stand at the ready with stones in hand. All right? John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again at the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. All right, guys, I'm going to stop there for just a second. It's a very familiar story, all right? And a great one when we talk about judging people and about us having no sin. You know, we can't really throw the first stone because we don't have any sin. Guys, Jesus didn't have any sin, all right? He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to stand in front of this woman, all right? He didn't have to. According to the law, and I'm saying according to the law, not according to Rick, but according to the law, she had earned everything that was about to happen to her. I don't know about you guys, and I spoke about this in first service, all right? I am so thankful that I am not up here or that I'm not standing in this world getting what I deserve, okay? Because if I got what I deserve, I would not be standing here today, all right? The other day, I looked at my family, and I told my wife, I said, I don't deserve you and these boys. For what I've put into it, I'm getting way more out of it. Is that because of me? No. It's because of God and his grace and his mercy. Guys, that's a... I hear people say, you know, you'll see something bad happen to somebody and say, hey, that's perfect. He's like, that guy's getting exactly what he deserves. That's a very dangerous statement, a very dangerous statement, especially us as believers, to speak that about somebody else. Why? Because God paid a price for us. Christ paid a price for us on the cross that he didn't deserve, and I deserved every bit of that. Every single bit of that was for me. It was not on him. He was perfect, just like this. Jesus is here, and he's writing on the ground. And I kind of wonder what was going through his mind. I wish that we had a little bit of a more of an insight about what was going on. But as I was thinking about this, you know, some of these very men very well may have been with this woman at some point in time. And maybe the reason they wanted to throw the stone was to keep her quiet. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus said, hey, any one of you that's without sin, throw the first stone at her. All right? I spoke about this earlier. I wonder what he was writing in the ground. Like, I'm waiting. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm waiting. One of you, throw it. Just almost daring them to throw that first stone. And there's not a one of them. It says, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, let one of you who is without sin throw the first stone at her. Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. Interesting to me, it says, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with a woman who was still standing there. Maybe the older ones had a reflection of, hey, I know what my life has been like. I know that I have zero business standing here judging this woman because of the sin in my own life, all right? It really makes you wonder if they really started to question, hey, are we doing the right thing to this man, all right, and judging him and treating him as we are because, I mean, yeah, he knew that there wasn't a one of us in this circle that could throw a stone at this woman, all right? And Jesus straightened up and he asked her, woman, where are they? And you can imagine, just because of the situation she was in, probably how society or the people in the area made her feel, she wasn't somebody who held her head very high, all right? She probably wasn't someone that was looking all these men in the face and looking at these people and saying, you know, with anything at all, she probably had her head down, probably crying, scared, you know, hey, you know, this is it for me because I've done what they've said I'd done. And then Jesus said, has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, sir, as she looked up. And he said, then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go and leave your life of sin. Guys, we serve a God that stands in front of our accusers. You could say a ton of things about me, and they would probably all be true. Not bishop or anything like that. That's what I'm talking about. All right? I don't even know where that came from. I don't know who started that. But anyway, but you could say a lot of things about me. If you knew me, especially, you still think say things about me as recent as last week. But, I mean, if you knew me when I was a lot younger, you could say a lot of things about me. And I couldn't refute those things. I couldn't stand up and say, hey, I didn't do that. I couldn't stand up and say, hey, that wasn't me. That was me. And I did do that, all right? But thank God, because of God's grace and mercy, I'm not that person anymore, all right? I don't have to live there. I don't have to stand. I don't have to stand, guys, with the accusers all around me saying, hey, you're this, because God delivered me. He saved me. He forgave me of those sins. Not just me, you, all right? Some of you, like, I remember there was a time I was in church and one of my really good friends came and I was excited because he came to church and like the very first person that talked to him, like, man, what are you doing here? I was worried the church was going to fall in when you got here. And I was like, wait a minute, I saw you at some of the same parties too. What are you saying to him? You know what I mean? Like, it's just wild how we can be sometimes, guys, and that's not it. God's mercy and grace extends to each one of us, all right? Each one of us. And we don't have to be who we were before. We don't have to stay there. God doesn't tell her, hey, just go home and do whatever. He says, go home. He says, go now and leave your life of sin. She was changed that day. I don't know if you remember the day that you were changed, but God, he changed you, all right? And your life changed. The direction changed, all right? And maybe you're here this morning, you say, I have no idea. You know, you have no idea what I've done, you know. Or maybe I know you and you know me and you're like, hey, Ricky, you know exactly what I've done. All right, and this morning I'd say to you, it doesn't matter because I know the one who knows each and everything any of us has ever done. And he's standing in front of us this morning, all right, saying, hey, I'll hold the accusers at bay. All right, not only will I hold them at bay, I'm going to send them away. And those things that you've earned, I'll take upon me. Why? Because he's him. He's Jesus who paid the ultimate price for us. Matt, I'm going to get ready to close, all right? But maybe this morning you'd say to me, you don't understand. Like, I'm in the fire right now. Like, and maybe you've served God for a lot of years, all right? But you say, I'm in it right now. I'm in the fire right now. And I tell you this morning, I know a guy, all right? I know a guy. If you go to Daniel 3:16-28, all right? I know a guy that stood in a furnace with three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all right? Again, young men that had not earned the punishment that was upon them, all right? They didn't earn it. They were doing what God had asked them to do, and they were honoring God. All right, but they were about to receive a punishment in a fiery furnace so hot that it killed the soldiers that were stoking and guarding that furnace. All right, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace. It's one of the first accounts in the Bible of God in physical form. All right, and when they looked down in the fiery furnace, they didn't see the three men that they found. They threw in there. They saw four, and it says the countenance on the fourth was like the Son of God. All right, just an amazing, amazing thing. Jesus, God was in that furnace with them, all right? And guys, they came out of the furnace, all right? They opened the door, and they came out of the furnace, all right? This is an amazing thing. If you've ever been around a campfire or ever burned trash around your property, you smell like smoke when you're done, all right? Your hair, your clothes, your hands, everything, you smell like smoke. But the Bible says these men came out of this furnace, all right? They didn't even have, guys, none of their clothes, their robes were burned at all. They didn't, none of their hair, their beards, their hair on their head, their hair on their knuckles, because they were guys, like, none of it was even singed, all right? The Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of a furnace that was so hot that it killed people, other people that were guarding it. They didn't even smell like smoke. Why? Because, guys, we serve a God that walks through a fire with us. All right, and not only walks through it with us, but brings us out the other side. All right, not even smelling like smoke, unscathed. All right, not burned. All right, not singed. Not with our clothes, you know, just scorched. No, he brings us out, guys, whole and able to just walk out on the other side. Maybe you say this morning, Rick, I've lost everything. All right, I don't have anything. My checking account's in the negative. Like, I don't have any money coming in. You know, I don't know how, maybe have a business. I don't know how I'm going to pay employees. I'm going to have to shut the doors next week. Don't know what we're going to eat next week. I want to tell you about a man named Job. All right, I'm going to tell you, I know a guy. Job was such a good man that God bragged on him. Okay, I don't know about you, but I promise you, God has never went to Satan and said, hey, have you considered my servant Rick? Like, I promise you, he's never done that. But guys, Job was so upright and blameless that as Satan was trying to make his rounds, God said to him, have you ever considered my servant Job? He's an upright and blameless man. And Satan said to him, well, of course he is. You've never let anything happen to him. And God said, okay. He's like, I'll tell you what. Do whatever you want to Job, but don't take his life. All right? And you read this story, the book of Job. It's crazy, okay? Crazy doesn't even do it justice. Job lost everything. And Job was already a wealthy man in the land. He lost everything, property, home, livestock, children, guys, servants, all right? It's just crazy. And his wife even told him, you know what? You need to just curse God and die. And Job refused. He said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'll return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Guys, and God took Job, what happened to Job, and because of his faithfulness, restored upon him not double what he had, not three times what he had, but the Bible says multiple times of what Job had before, God blessed him with because of his faithfulness. If you're going through it today and you said, hey, God, I don't have anything left. I have nothing, all right? I want you to think about this phrase, all right? I'll praise him anyway, all right? Guys, I don't know what, like, Autumn and I were talking. I know Matt had an issue this last week. Hey, guys, if my sink spring's a big leak and the faucet's leaking, the element's gone on the dryer, I'm going to praise you anyway. If the water heater goes, you know, and I'm taking a cold shower, you know, and things are not fun, I'll praise you anyway. God, if I have nothing, I'll praise you anyway. If my kids are sick, I'll praise you anyway. God, if I'm up against it at work, I'll praise you anyway. All right? It's a change in our mindset. Why? Because it begins to show a reflection of who God is in us. I'll praise you anyway because, God, you're good. God, you're faithful. All right? Job, he said, I came in this world with nothing. I'll leave with nothing. God gave and God takes away, but I'm still going to praise him anyway. And I mean, how amazing is that? All right, guys, maybe this morning that you're here and you're saying, I have doubts, Rick, about what you're saying because I haven't experienced this Jesus, or I experienced him and I'm still going through these things. All right, I'm going to talk to you about a man named Thomas, all right? Thomas was one of the disciples, and he walked with Jesus, all right? He spent time with Jesus. He saw miracle upon miracle. He helped hand out loaves and fishes that were multiplied exponentially, all right, because of miracles that Jesus performed, all right? He'd been there. He was there at the Last Supper. He was there as he led Jesus away. He knew who Jesus was, All right, if you've ever went somewhere for like a short period of time, especially if you have kids or grandkids, say you're gone a week, you come back, it looks like they've grown, but you don't forget what they look like. We're no different, all right? I don't forget, all right? I'm trying to see in here who I know a lot of you, but I'm still going to pick on this morning, all right? I know Mr. Shane, all right? I see Mr. Shane. Even if I don't see him for 6 months, I still know what he looks like. He gets better looking all the time, all right? But it's still him, all right? I know who he is, all right? Thomas had been without Jesus for just a few days, all right? And he still didn't believe. He's doubted after Jesus had raised from the dead. And actually, Jesus had just walked through a wall. It's a great story if you've never read it before. But it took Jesus literally stretching his hand out. See that scar, Thomas? Remember what I told you I was going to do? It's me. See this side? The side that was pierced for you? It's me. If you're here this morning and you've never experienced him, he's got that hand out to you this morning. The hand that took nails in his hands and feet, a crown of thorns on the cross for you. And he said, here, that's the one I've got out to you to pull you. I want to pull you up about whatever it is that you're in that you're struggling with. I want to pull you out of that boat that you think is sinking. I want to pull you out of that fire that you think is about to consume you. I want to pull you to places that you could never go on your own, but places that I know I will take you as long as you stay by my side. That's it. That's the hand. All right? He wants to pull you by that side that was pierced while he was on the cross. And he's here this morning. If you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, let today be the day. Guys, sometimes we walk into this place and somebody will say, hey, Russ, how you doing? And you know what Russ will tell me? I'm doing great. Rick, how are you? All right? My canned answer is always, I'm living the dream. I always tell people, I'm living the dream. You know what I'm? And here's why I say that. It's a very broad definition. If you've ever seen a horror movie, dreams can be really, really bad. If you've ever had that great dream where like tacos are abundant, all right, and you can eat as many as you want, you don't gain weight, like, you know, the dream, there's a big broad spectrum of living the dream when we talk about this, but that's always my canned answer. But we tell people we're fine. We say, hey, I'm great, I'm good, hey, good to see you, how are you? Hey, I'm great, when inside we're struggling, there's things inside that we're carrying, and say, hey, I don't even know on these legs how I'm carrying this. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know how I'm making it through, but here I am. You're here this morning. Brandon talked about it. You're not here by chance, okay? You're here because God has a plan for you. And maybe today you came here, like he said earlier, because, hey, this is my last-ditch effort at some type of hope. Let me tell you what. Your last-ditch effort at some type of hope is the best hope that you will ever find. And I promise you guys that there is nothing that God will not bring you through. Okay, we could sit in this room. I could start passing this mic around. I'll say, hey, tell me, if God's ever walked with you through a divorce, why don't we tell somebody about it? We'd have person after person stand up. Hey, tell me about the loss of a child or a spouse. I'd pass the mic. People tell you about it over and over and over. Hey, how about the loss of a job, the loss of a home, the loss of a business? We could keep passing it around. Guys, how about the loss of just all these? We could talk about all these things that have happened. I promise you there's somebody in this room that's went through it. But you know what's greater than that? The greatest thing is that the same God that they serve, the same God that wants to bring you through it this morning as you're going through it, okay? So if you would, bow your heads for me for just a moment, okay? I talked about the seasons in your life that we go through, but I want you to think about your current season right now. Maybe you've walked with God for 60 years. If you walked with God for 60 years, God bless you. Okay? If you've never given your heart to Christ, all right, today's the day. But God bless you because you're here this morning and God wants to meet you in this place. All right, guys, we serve that God, the God who heals, the God who provides, the God who protects, the God who forgives, God, the God who gives life. We serve a life-living God. If you're here this morning, I'm going to ask you first, if you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, or if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior and you feel like you've gotten as far away from him as you could ever be, today's the day. It only takes one step back. You can walk a million miles away. It only takes one turn to come back to him because he's right behind you, pursuing you, waiting for you to come back. If that's you this morning, you say, hey, I need God in my life, or I need God to come back into my life. I want you to raise your hand, put it down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out by name. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to write a check. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Say, God, here I am. This is me this morning. This is me, and I lay it right here at your feet. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I see your hands. You can put them down. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through the fire. You say, hey, I serve God, but I'm going through a fire. I'm in the storm, and I don't know how I'm going to get out. I can't see the shore, or I can't see the outside of this furnace, and I feel like I'm being consumed, whether by wind and wave or by fire. And I need God to meet me where I'm at this morning and just encourage me in my faith that He still has me. I want to know that I'm coming out on the other end dry. I'm coming out on the other end not smelling like smoke. If that's you this morning, you said, I have that need, raise your hand this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a financial need and you're saying, God, there's nothing left for us to eat when we get home. Or I don't know how I'm going to pay the power bill this month. I don't know how I'm going to just make it, God, and I got people dependent on me. God, even if I starve, I don't want my kids to starve, all right? Maybe that's you this morning. You say, God, I need a financial miracle. I need you to open the windows of heaven and pour out an abundance on me like never before. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to pour out that abundance on you, not just enough for you, but enough for somebody else. The opportunity to bless somebody else through that. If that's you this morning, you say, hey, I need a financial miracle this morning. I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. Put it up, put it back down. Okay, I'll raise my hand with you. I need God to just move in my home too, okay? But guys, I want you to all stand with me if you could for just a minute. I want to pray for you. Whatever season that you're in today, all right? A season that you don't have to tell anybody out. You know what? This morning, if you're here and you're on the brink of divorce, I pray God puts you back together with your spouse today, all right? That you'll receive that phone call or that message afterwards and say, hey, we need to talk about this and work this out. We serve a God that restores relationships. If you have a family member you haven't spoken to, or you have somebody that you know that doesn't serve God, and you say, God, I've been interceding for this son, this daughter, this cousin, this friend, whatever, to come to you. Guys, God's going to meet them there today. I believe that, all right? Because we serve a wonder-working God. Just bow your heads with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. I thank you, God, because you are alive. Like the song said, you keep hope alive. God, nobody is like you, God. There's nothing like you in this world. And we could search and search and search and search, and we'd never find it because you are the only true God. And I just thank you because you love us. I thank you because you're alive. I thank you because you still do miracles. This morning, we come before you, God. I ask you, God, do a miracle in the life that needs it this morning, Lord God. Bring a healing to someone that needs it this morning. Provide supernaturally for someone who needs it this morning. Heal this morning, Lord God. Provide, I pray that you, Lord God, restore, Lord God, faith, Lord Jesus. I pray that salvation comes today, Lord God. As that one person turns to you and say, God, here I am. Take my life. I've done enough with it. It's yours now. I pray, God, that you just increase our faith, that you'd meet us here. And today would be a day of new beginnings, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we just ask for a move of your Spirit in this church, a move in our community. I pray, God, that you don't move like we did when you did when I was 15 or when I was 25. God, I pray like you move today in a way that we've never seen before, and that everybody that would come in contact with us would see you written all over our face, Lord God. That this community would know that it's not Grace Church, but it's Jesus who loves them, Lord God. We love them too, but it's you, Lord God, that changes lives, that changes hearts, and do things that only that you can do. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. I pray that, Lord Jesus, you bless each person under this roof today. I pray that you bless those online, and I just pray that your word go forth. Thank you, God, for just giving us the opportunity to be in your house and in your presence. In Jesus' name.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.